Chapter 20. Dog Beach. As a newspaper columnist, I was always looking for interesting and quirky stories I could grab onto. I wrote 3 columns each week, which meant that one of the biggest challenges of the job was coming up with a constant stream of fresh topics. Each morning I began my day by scouring the 4 South Florida daily newspapers, circling and clipping anything that might be worth weighing in on. Then it was a matter of finding an approach or angle that would be mine. The job would take me to a migrant camp one day, a millionaire's mansion the next, and an inner city street corner the day after that. I loved the variety. I loved the people I met. And more than anything, I loved the near total freedom I was afforded to go wherever I wanted, whenever I wanted, in pursuit of whatever topic tickled my curiosity. What my bosses did not know was that behind my journalistic wanderings was a secret agenda: to use my position as a columnist to engineer as many shamelessly transparent working holidays as I possibly could. My motto was, "When the columnist has fun, the reader has fun." Someone had to do the dirty work of telling the story of the lost Shakers of Salt in Margaritaville. It might as well be me. It was in this vein of journalistic inquiry that I got the idea to take Marley for a day at the beach. Up and down South Florida's heavily used shoreline, various municipalities had banned pets, and for good reason. The last thing beachgoers wanted was a wet, sandy dog pooping and peeing and shaking all over them as they worked on their tans. No pets signs bristled along nearly every stretch of sand. There was one place, though, one small, little-known sliver of beach where there were no signs, no restrictions, no bans on four-legged water lovers. The beach was tucked away in an unincorporated pocket of Palm Beach County, about halfway between West Palm Beach and Boca Raton, stretching for a few hundred yards and hidden behind a grassy dune at the end of a dead-end street. Over the years, its reputation spread by word of mouth among pet owners as one of South Florida's last safe havens for dogs to come and frolic in the surf. Unofficially, everyone knew it as Dog Beach. Dog Beach operated on its own set of unwritten rules that had evolved over time, put in place by consensus of the dog owners who frequented it, and enforced by peer pressure and a sort of silent moral code. The rules were simple and few. Aggressive dogs had to stay leashed. All others could run free. Owners were to bring plastic bags with them to pick up any droppings their animal might deposit. All trash, including bag dog waste, was to be carted out. Each dog should arrive with a supply of fresh drinking water. Above all else, there would be absolutely no fouling of the water. The etiquette called for owners, upon arriving, to walk their dogs along the dune line, far from the ocean's edge, until their pets relieved themselves. Then they could bag the waste and safely proceed to the water. I had heard about Dog Beach, but had never visited. Now I had my excuse. A pro-development county commissioner had begun squawking about this unregulated stretch of beach and asking why the same rules that applied to other county beaches should not apply here. She made her intent clear: outlaw the furry critters, improve public access, and open this valuable resource to the masses. On a drop-dead perfect June morning, I headed with Marley across the intracoastal waterway. I filled the car with as many beach towels as I could find, and that was just for the drive over. As always, Marley's tongue was hanging out, spit flying everywhere. I felt like I was on a road trip with Old Faithful. Following Dog Beach protocol, I parked several blocks away where I wouldn't get a ticket and began the long hike in through a sleepy neighborhood of 60s vintage bungalows, Marley leading the charge. About halfway there, a gruff voice called out, "Hey, dog guy!" I froze, convinced I was about to be busted by an angry neighbor who wanted me to keep my damn dog off his beach. But the voice belonged to another pet owner who approached me with his own large dog on a leash and handed me a petition to sign, urging county commissioners to let Dog Beach stand. Speaking of standing, We would have stood and chatted, but the way Marley and the other dog were circling each other, I knew it was just a matter of seconds before they, A, lunged at each other in mortal combat, or B, began a family. I yanked Marley away and continued on. Just as we reached the path to the beach, Marley squatted in the weeds and emptied his bowels. Perfect. At least that little social nicety was out of the way. I bagged up the evidence. To the beach. When we crested the dune, I was surprised to see several people wading in the shallows with their dogs securely tethered to leashes. What was this all about? I expected the dogs to be running free in unbridled communal harmony. A sheriff's deputy was just here, one glum dog owner explained. He said from now on they're enforcing the county leash ordinance, and we'll be fined if our dogs are loose. It appeared I had arrived too late to fully enjoy the simple pleasures of Dog Beach. The police, no doubt at the urging of the politically connected anti-Dog Beach forces, were tightening the noose. I obediently walked Marley along the water's edge with the other dog owners, feeling more like I was in a prison exercise yard than on South Florida's last unregulated spit of sand. I returned with him to my towel and was just pouring Marley a bowl of water from the canteen I had lugged along when over the dune came a shirtless, tattooed man in cut-off blue jeans and work boots, a muscular and fierce-looking pit bull terrier on a heavy chain at his side. The owner must have noticed me recoiling because he called out, "Don't you worry, killer's friendly. He don't never fight other dogs." I was just beginning to exhale with relief when he added with obvious pride, "But you should see him rip open a wild hog. I'll tell you, he can get it down and gutted in about 15 seconds. I told him the cops had just been here and were going to ticket people who didn't obey the leash ordinance. I guess they're cracking down. "That's bullshit," he yelled and spit in the sand. "I've been bringing my dogs to this beach for years. You don't need no leash at Dog Beach." With that, he unclipped the heavy chain, and Killer galloped across the sand and into the water. Marley reared back on his hind legs, bouncing up and down. He looked at Killer, and then up at me. He looked back at Killer, and back at me. His paws padded nervously on the sand, and he let out a soft, sustained whimper. I scanned the dune line. No cops anywhere in sight. I looked at Marley. "Please, please! Pretty please?" "Go ahead, let him loose," Killer's owner said. "A dog ain't meant to spend his life on the end of a rope." "Oh, what the hell," I said, and unsnapped the leash. Marley dashed for the water, kicking sand all over us as he blasted off. He crashed into the surf just as a breaker rolled in, tossing him under the water. A second later, his head reappeared, and the instant he regained his footing, he threw a cross-body block at Killer, the pig-slaying pit bull, knocking both of them off their feet. Together, they rolled beneath a wave, and I held my breath, wondering if Marley had just crossed the line that would throw Killer into a homicidal, lab-butchering fury. But when they popped back up again, their tails were wagging, their mouths grinning. Killer jumped on Marley's back, and Marley on Killer's. They chased each other up the waterline and back again, sending plumes of spray flying on either side of them. They pranced, they danced, they wrestled, they dove. I don't think I had ever before, or have ever since, witnessed such unadulterated joy. The other dog owners took our cue, and pretty soon all the dogs, about a dozen in total, were running free. The dogs all got along splendidly. The owners all followed the rules. It was Dog Beach as it was meant to be. This was the real Florida, unblemished and unchecked, the Florida of a forgotten, simpler time and place. There was only one small problem. As the morning progressed, Marley kept lapping up salt water. I followed behind him with a bowl of fresh water, but he was too distracted to drink. Several times I led him right up to the bowl and stuck his nose into it, but he spurned the fresh water as if it were vinegar, wanting only to return to his new best friend, Killer, and the other dogs. Out in the shallows, he paused from his play to lap up even more salt water. Stop that, you dummy! You're going to make yourself... Before I could finish my thought, it happened. A strange glaze settled over his eyes, and a horrible churning sound began to erupt from his gut. He arched his back high and opened and shut his mouth several times, as if trying to clear something from his craw. His shoulders heaved, his abdomen contorted. Sick! The instant the word left my lips, Marley fulfilled the prophecy, committing the ultimate Dog Beach heresy. Gack! I raced to pull him out of the water, but it was too late. Everything was coming up. Gack! I could see last night's dog chow floating on the water's surface, looking surprisingly like it had before it went in. Bobbing among the nuggets were undigested corn kernels he had swiped off the kids' plates, a milk jug cap, and the severed head of a tiny plastic soldier. The entire evacuation took no more than 3 seconds, and the instant his stomach was emptied, he looked up brightly, apparently fully recovered with no lingering after effects, as if to say, "Now that I've got that taken care of, who wants to body surf?" I glanced nervously around, but no one had seemed to notice. The other dog owners were occupied with their own dogs farther down the beach. Thank God, I thought, as I waded into Marley's puke zone, roiling the water with my feet as nonchalantly as I could to disperse the evidence. "Listen, you," I grabbed Marley and forced him to look me in the eye, "stop drinking salt water. What kind of a dog doesn't know enough to not drink salt water?" I considered janking him off the beach and cutting our adventure short, but he seemed fine now. What I had failed to consider was that while Marley's stomach may have been completely emptied, his bowels were not. The sun was reflecting blindingly off the water, and I squinted to see Marley frolicking among the other dogs. As I watched, he abruptly disengaged from the play and began turning in tight circles in the shallow water. I knew the circling maneuver well. It was what he did every morning in the backyard as he prepared to defecate. And now he was circling in the shallows of Dog Beach, on that brave frontier where no dog had dared to poop before. He was entering his squatting position, and this time he had an audience. Killer's dad and several other dog owners were standing within a few yards of him. "Hey!" someone yelled out. "Get your dog!" "Stop him!" someone else shouted. As alarmed voices cried out, the sunbathers propped themselves up to see what all the commotion was about. I burst into a full sprint, racing to get to him before it was too late. If I could just reach him and yank him out of his squat before his bowels began to move, I might be able to interrupt the whole awful humiliation, at least long enough to get him safely up on the dune. As I raced toward him, I had what can only be described as an out-of-body experience. Even as I ran, I was looking down from above, the scene unfolding one frozen frame at a time. Each step seemed to last an eternity. My arms swung through the air, my face contorted in a sort of agonized grimace. Marley was done circling now, and in full squat position. I was almost there, just feet from him. "Marley, no! 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 No!" It was no use. Just as I reached him, he exploded in a burst of watery diarrhea. Everyone was jumping back now, recoiling, fleeing to higher ground. Owners were grabbing their dogs. Sunbathers scooped up their towels. Then it was over. Marley trotted out of the water onto the beach, shook off with gusto, and turned to look at me, panting happily. I pulled a plastic bag out of my pocket and held it helplessly in the air. I could see immediately it would do no good. The waves crashed in, spreading Marley's mess across the water and up onto the beach. "Dude," Killer's dad said, in a voice that made me appreciate how the wild hogs must feel at the instant of Killer's final fatal lunge. "That was not cool." No, it wasn't cool at all. Marley and I had violated the sacred rule of Dog Beach. We had fouled the water, not once, but twice, and ruined the morning for everyone. It was time to beat a quick retreat. Back at the car, I threw a towel over Marley and vigorously rubbed him down. The more I rubbed, the more he shook, and soon I was covered in sand and spray and fur. I wanted to be mad at him. I wanted to strangle him. But it was too late now. Besides, who wouldn't get sick drinking a half gallon of salt water? As with so many of his misdeeds, this one was not malicious or premeditated. It wasn't as though he had disobeyed a command or set out to intentionally humiliate me. He simply had to go, and he went. Well, salty dog, you've done it this time. If dogs are banned from Dog Beach, we'll know why. It would take several more years, but in the end, that's exactly what happened.